80 years ago, the East End of London saw one of the biggest riots in the city's history. It's known as the Battle of Cable Street. Tens of thousands of Londoners clashed with police after right-wing extremists attempted to march through the heart of the city's main Jewish neighborhood. Many in the UK remember it as the day that fascism was defeated in Britain. But the truth is a lot more complicated than that, as The World's Chris Wolfe reports.
It's 1936. Across Europe, fascism is on the march. Hitler's Nazi Germany has just occupied the Rhineland, Mussolini's Italy has just conquered Ethiopia, and General Franco has just launched the Spanish Civil War. In Britain, Oswald Mosley and the British Union of Fascists, the BUF, were riding a wave of anti-Semitism.
And Sir Oswald Mosley, black shirt leader, arrives at Royal Mint Street to inspect his followers.
So when Mosley scheduled a mass march down Cable Street, the centre of London's Jewish community, the locals decided to stop him.
Communists, Labourites and Jews jammed the fascist route. Now the crowd take matters into their own hands.
I'm 99 years old and still going strong.
B.T. Orwell was in that crowd and still lives nearby.
You see, I'm Jewish, so I belong to the anti-fascist group. I was only 19 years old. I couldn't dance, so I went to all political meetings.
In a BBC documentary, she recalls the moment she got to the top of Cable Street.
And I saw all the fascists all lined up, waiting for Mosley to come there. There would have been bloodshed. If they would have gone marching, there'd have been bloodshed. There was all the dockers there. They came from everywhere.
Estimates vary, but anywhere from 20,000 to 200,000 people took part. Max Levitas, now 101, was also there.
I was a party leader, a communist, and still am. I was a runner. I knock at people's houses to get people to come into the struggle. The atmosphere was great.
What was great was that London's Jewish community for the first time saw many of their neighbours coming to their defence. Bill Fishman was another participant.
And you could hear in this conglomeration of people the chants, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we want Mosley, dead or alive. And all across there was these banners flying. Remember them as though it were yesterday. I pushed my way through these banners. People were there, I can see them now, young and old, but mainly local people consisting of Irish and Jewish working class. They'd come there to stop the fascist invasion of our patch.
Professor Clive Bloom has written extensively on riots in London.
There was a huge threat from the BUF and Oswald Mosley, and here we have people almost, apparently at least, spontaneously rising up, defending their area. They weren't getting justice from Parliament, from the government, from the police, so they took justice into their own hands, and in this case, they won.
Some 10,000 police had been mobilised to keep order, and their first duty was to clear the streets for the fascist marchers. They stormed the people's barricades. Bill Fishman says everyone in the neighbourhood had a role in the fighting that followed.
Kids were throwing marbles at the horses and they were collapsing on the floor. There were women throwing filth and dirt and emptying garbage onto the police.
Everyone remembers those chamber pots being dumped from second-storey windows. The police were stopped. They advised Mosley to call off the march and go home, and the fascists turned and marched away. But they did not quite go into the oblivion that London folk memory insists they did. Mosley's propaganda exploited the publicity they were usually denied by the media, and his people spun the violence to portray themselves as victims. And in fact, fascist membership surged in the aftermath of the riot, even among the working class of the East End. Just a week later, a violent anti-Jewish riot took place in those same streets, an event known as the Mile End Pogrom. Clive Bloom again.
Mosley personally never turned up again directly in the East End, but his followers did. So no, they weren't defeated, but they were taught a lesson.
Most historians now agree that the Battle of Cable Street did not defeat fascism and anti-Semitism in Britain, and in fact gave them a short-term boost. They say what really defeated the fascists in Britain was their failure at the ballot box. They never became more than a fringe group. One journalist, Oliver Cam, wrote, "Mosley was a sinister and repugnant figure, all right, but his bombastic absurdity, along with the vicious sectarianism of his extremist politics, never really resonated with most British people." Whatever the historians think, locals like B.T. Orwell remain proud of the stand they took that day 80 years ago.
They shouted, "They shall not pass," and they never passed. That's why I was proud.
For The World, I'm Chris Wolfe.